Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. I'm going to be on an open show tonight, and that means you get to call in and be the guest, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in, open show tonight, that means you get to be the guest. You get to direct the conversation and say, this is something that I want to talk about, and if you can help me with this, then I'll be very appreciative. And always remember, there's probably another group of people out there that would love to hear the question you're asking, but they're just too shy to call in. They just don't like that concept. So anyway, but I have also a special co-host with me tonight. I have one of the rising stars from the Financial Consulate, Madison Bennett, with me tonight. Maddie, how are you?
I'm good, Drew. How are you?
You know, stay up real close to that mic so we can hear your voice loud and clear, okay? So do you want me to be more formal calling you Madison, or do you prefer the Maddie?
Maddie is fine.
Yes. Maddie is an excellent name, and Maddie got her certification as a financial planner about a year ago, and she is now studying to be a certified financial therapist. So Maddie, tell everybody what a CFT certification does and why it's so important in our industry.
Yeah, so financial therapy focuses on the behavioral side of finance. It helps us dive deeper into why we may have our opinions about money or views about money, and can work through those and help you overcome them.
Yeah, and you know, we say all the time, whenever we do a seminar or whenever we're doing a webinar, the focus is the foundation of all financial planning is how you think about money will determine everything you'll do with and for it. And so that's why we're so excited about the work that you're doing and the certification you're going to be getting, because it is a major component of the financial planning process. So I really respect that and what you're doing there. So anyway, we're on an open show tonight, Maddie, and that means our listeners can call and ask any question they want, 410-922-6680. And if not, then you and I have just got to babble with each other. And you know, I can babble. You're just going to have to keep up with me then, right?
That sounds good. I don't have a problem with that.
I know that for a fact. This is one confident young lady in front of me. So if you have a question, 410-922-6680 is the way to call in and ask a question. There are a lot of interesting things that are going on. Starting about 30 days from now, this morning, I was talking with Sean Casey. The president and his team are going to start sending out monthly checks to people who had a certain income range, had children, and they're going to send out the 2021 child tax credit on a monthly basis starting in July. I think they notified, what was it? Was 36 million people, I think, got a notice that they were going to be sending a check to them. And the problem is that if you're not entitled to it at the end of 2021, when you actually report your income, you got to pay it all back. So you better darn well be sure that if you're getting this monthly check, that it's yours to keep. So, you know, that's something that's very interesting. Also, if you don't think you are, you can opt out. You can go online with the IRS and say, I don't want to get this check, quit sending it to me, and I'm just going to park whatever I got already, and I'll be ready to pay it back to you next year. So that's a quirky thing that's happening right now. You know, I just wrote an article on Social Security taxation and how evil the taxation of Social Security is. I just think it's the worst form of taxation is how they tax Social Security. So those are just some of the topics that are on my mind. What do you got? Anything that's going on that you're thinking about, Maddie? you know? I got caught you off guard.
You
there,
did.
Right? That's okay. It's your first time, you know.
Yes.
I've been doing this for only 20 years. You've been doing this for about 20 minutes. And so it's a little bit different. But why don't you, as the listeners, why don't you call in and help Maddie out and myself, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. You know, if you want to call in and ask a question. There's plenty of topics, you know, it would be at estate planning, income taxes, 401ks, IRAs. There's lots of different topics that we can discuss if you're interested. And tonight's an open show night if you want to call in and ask a question. So 410-922-6680 if you want to help us out on that. You know, I'm trying to think of some topics. I know they're, yeah.
So we've actually got a caller coming through.
But we've got to wait till Chris gets a little, you know, information about him and so forth. So tell me, when do you start? Are you already started with your certification in financial therapy?
Yes, yeah. So I'm about a couple months into it. And what the education is, so it's 15 educational videos, followed by with additional resources and articles that they recommend that you read. And it just varies from different what they call money scripts or views about money, and how a lot of that comes from your family and how you're raised and how you're influenced as you grow up, which is a pretty interesting, what I find interesting. And then after you finish the education, it is a 100 question, multiple choice exam. So I plan to take that around October.
Right. So, you know, we'll look forward to that because, you know, you're like you say, you watch your parents, and what normally happens is you're going to go either the polar opposite of what your parents did.
Right.
You know, like in other words, your parents were extremely frugal. You might become a spendthrift because you just hated the fact that your parents never would buy you anything. Or
right.
You might become an incredibly frugal also, even though you really shouldn't be overtly frugal. It doesn't mean you should spend everything you got, but,
right.
You know, you could be making $200,000 and living as if you got 30 because that's the way your parents did it. And that could be just as evil. So anyway, we're going to have a couple callers coming in, Maddie. So we're going to have to take a pause with traffic, and then we're going to be right back after this break. Okay.
All right. Sounds good.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the financial consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE, or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth, and we're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680. Maddie, you know who that band is?
I do not, unfortunately. I know I should.
Well, that's okay. I do, but I'm not going to tell Chris because he always wants to try to trick me. So anyway, we're on an open show tonight. What do we have callers coming in right now, Maddie?
We do. We have a couple callers. So now we've got Jerry from Mount Airy with a question about Roth IRAs.
Jerry, how can we help you?
Hey, Drew. I've listened to your show a number of times, and I've heard you talk about converting regular IRAs to Roth.
Yep.
I have a slightly different twist. You know, I'm a self-employed professional, and I've got a SEP IRA that I've had for probably 35 years and accumulated a fairly large amount. And my question to you is, does it make any sense to convert any of that SEP IRA money into Roth IRA?
The answer to that question is maybe. But the very first thing you got to do is get rid of somebody who's had you in a SEP IRA for 35 years. You need to get a individual 401k plan. And you want to do it with a brokerage firm like TD Ameritrade that offers both a Roth and a traditional 401k feature. Now, let me tell you, Jerry, how powerful this is. Let's say you make $100,000 a year. In your SEP, you can only put about $20,000 into it, assuming that you're as a sole proprietor or something of, you know, a tax classification LLC. Like a, you're an LLC taxed as a sole proprietor or taxed as a corporation?
Well, I've got a subchapter S election, so typically what I do okay. is I'll pay myself a W-2 salary in
so,
the amount that I can put the maximum SEP IRA in.
Correct. So. So here's how that works. Let's say you're making, taxes and S Corp, this is how the SEP works. If you pay yourself $100,000 salary and you're taking, are you paying yourself like $300,000 that you put $60,000 into the SEP IRA?
Well, that's, you can't do that because there's a cap on it.
So and the cap is about $286,000.
I think it's a little less than that right now, but whatever, every year I check and I, whatever the maximum amount, it's 25%, and whatever the maximum amount of contribution, I basically take four times that as a salary, and then quite often have distributed profit in addition to that on a K-1
okay.
from my LLC.
So I hear what you're saying then. So the way it works is with a SEP, you're doing the maximum you can. So with a SEP, it all has to go with traditional. With a 401k, with a brokerage firm like TD Ameritrade, an individual 401k, I'm assuming you have no employees, right?
I do have employees.
How many employees do you have?
Right now, one. I've had as many as three.
Okay, but you do have one. So then I got to switch from an individual 401k to a guideline 401k. You know, there's a 401k plan called Guideline that would probably cost you maybe at the very most $1,200 a year. That's the max it would cost you. And you would be able to do Roth 401k up to $26,000, and the remainder of what you would typically put into the SEP, it would be now available to go into the traditional also. So you would get the best of both worlds. You're going to be accumulating a lot of Roth money, and you'll be still accumulating some good pre-tax money. Now, you also have to be very careful of putting too much pre-tax money away every year because you are, when you do that, you're losing the 20% 199A deduction. And that's an important issue that you may not be realizing when you're doing that SEP contribution the way you're doing it. You're losing a fair amount of tax-free money that you should get with the Section 190A, 99A write-off. So, you know, it would be really interesting to see your situation in detail because I think you could be doing this a lot better and then figure out, should we be converting to Roth also?
What is that last deduction you were talking about? I'm not familiar with that.
Well, you see, you know, let's say you make $500,000 of total income in your S Corp, okay? And you paid yourself, let's say, $200,000 in salary. Let's just use that. So the $300,000, you get a 20% 199A deduction. It's called qualified business income deduction. You have not heard this yet? It's been going on for about 3 years now.
No.
No? Well, okay, so. No. So when you do the SEP deduction, you're losing your 199A 20% tax-free deductibility because that's coming off of your profit, and then you get the 20% of the net after the profit. But so you're deferring into a SEP 20% of what would have been tax-free for you. You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, I hear it in general. I just have to study that.
Yeah, well, you know, that's why I say I'd love to see your situation specifically so we could show you in more detail how this is operating, because there's a lot of cool things you ought to be doing with what you're telling me you're dealing with. And obviously nobody's walking you through this. So, but that's what we specialize in. That's what we're passionate about. That's what we love, you know. And whether you should be doing Roth conversions, are you intending to stay in Maryland when you retire, my friend?
No, sir.
Okay, where do you expect to go?
Florida.
Okay, well, then you shouldn't be doing Roth conversions right now. You should be waiting until you retire, like I did, and move to Florida, and then start doing your Roth conversions. You know, so, you know, but, you know, there's always exceptions to everything, my friend. You know, you need to be in a 401k. You need to be accumulating Roth money. You need somebody to help you better understand this. And you should be thinking about Roth conversions anytime you have the opportunity. But if you're planning to move to Florida and it's not too many years in the future, that's when you probably need to be doing your conversions. All right?
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Take care. I wish he does call and talk to us, because that's a really cool one. I think we could really help him tremendously.
Agree. All right, we're going to Gary in Columbia.
All right,
hi,
Gary.
Can you hear me this time?
Yes, sir. How are you?
Okay, sorry. That last conversation was very interesting, by the way.
Yeah, well, you know, he's really got a lot of cool things going on that he could do substantially better. But anyway, Gary, how can we help you?
I have two questions with regard to the Federal Reserve's banking policy on quantitative easing.
Okay.
Okay, number one. Does that involve the purchase of corporate debt or just bank debt? But number two, is why is there so little visibility on QE by the mainstream media?
Well, the mainstream media doesn't understand it, and if you've ever talked to the mainstream financial media, they really don't understand much about personal finance. But the answer to your question is that quantitative easing could be all of the above. It could be corporate debt. It could be mortgages. It could be treasury. It could be other kinds of bank debt. But typically, it's treasury obligations that they're buying. But they also did a lot of mortgage obligations, and they will do corporate if they need to under certain circumstances and so forth. You can go to the St. Louis Federal Reserve Board, and you can see exactly the makeup of their portfolio and what type of securities they've purchased and what do they own right now at any time. You know, I do it not frequently, but I do it probably every quarter, just looking at the Federal Reserve's balance sheet and so forth.
Does it impact the country economically as much as the national debt does?
Well, it does, because they own about a quarter of the U.S. debt. You know, they own about $5 trillion of the U.S. debt. So it does have a big impact, because they take away a good portion of the supply of Treasury securities. And so by doing quantitative easing, the theory is that they're bringing the supply of bonds down and therefore dropping interest rates. And so if they can hold interest rates down, then, you know, all interest rates on all markets compete against Treasury obligations. So if they can drop the rate of Treasury obligations, other corporations and so forth will also pay lower interest rates like we do on mortgages right now and so forth. So that's the theory behind it. And, you know, is it reasonable? Well, only time's going to tell, my friend, as to how logical quantitative easing has been. But I got to take a pause. If you want to hold on, that's fine. But we can come back later. But right now, I got to take a pause, Gary, and we'll be right back. Money, riches, and wealth.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here with my co-host, a rising star, the financial consultant, Maddie Bennett. Maddie, you having a good time yet, or are you
I'm having a blast. I'm hoping my radio career takes off after this.
I think it will. And anyway, we are on an open show. We have a couple callers online. Gary, if you'll hold for me for a second, I want to get Raphael. He had called in earlier and accidentally got dropped. So we're going to take him, and then we're going to come back to you. But if anybody else wants to get online, 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. Go ahead, Maddie. Take it away.
All right, Raphael.
Hi, Drew.
Yes, how are you doing?
Hello.
I'm good. I have a question regarding an error on my tax return.
Okay.
My accountant missed to write my 1099 dividend for 2019 and 2020. He said that he's going to revise the 2020 and mail it. But I was told to wait for the notice or letter from IRS for the 2019 error. Is that valid, or is that a sound action?
Well, it could be sound. The problem is that if you do, the longer you wait, there's going to be more interest that's going to be charged on that. So you have to be thoughtful about that. So there's nothing wrong with the accountant, what they're telling you. But, if it's 2 years and then you owe it, it's going to be 2 years of interest that you're going to have to pay. And technically, if the IRS never notifies you, but you knew that you didn't pay taxes on it, the IRS could also argue that that's tax evasion. So you have to be careful about that strategy overall if it just kind of gets if it just gets lost in the shuffle and nobody ever does anything about it. So, it's up to you, Raphael, but if you're willing to fix it, fix it,
I'm willing to fix it, submit the corrected tax return for 2019 and 2020 at the same time.
Absolutely. And remember, one thing to tell your accountant is file the amended returns with your with electronic filing, not with paper.
Okay.
Very important.
Yeah.
And pay, okay, if you owe money, pay electronically using IRS Direct Pay. Don't send a check to the IRS. Because here's the point. Everybody says, if the USPS loses it, that's their problem, not mine. No, if they don't get the check and 3 months goes by and you don't realize that they never got the check and they never cashed it, and then they contact you and say, now you owe us even more interest. So just do it direct pay and get it over with. Okay, my friend?
Okay, so direct pay will give me the routing number for IRS?
No. The IRS will take your routing number and your account number, and they'll go into your checking account and take the money out. And it's a really cool little procedure. Maryland and the Fed both do it. And all you do is just put in your bank name and your bank routing number, and they just go in your account and take what they need. And, it really works very well. And I give them credit for one thing. That does work pretty well. All right.
Good.
All right, Raphael, good talking to you.
Thank
you
very
much. Take care. Who's next?
We've got Gary to finish up his questions, and then we're going to go to Tom after him from Bel Air to answer his question on home title lock.
All right. Gary, anything else we can answer for you on that?
Yeah, Drew, just a very quick question. You hear me?
Yeah, go for it.
The $5 trillion that you said was associated with the QE debt,
yeah,
is that in addition to or part of the $26 to $30 trillion that you typically hear of for the national debt?
So the federal government owes about $26 trillion. And, it's hard to get that number exactly because $3 trillion or so is owed to the Social Security Administration. $5 trillion of that is owned by the Federal Reserve System. So there's 8 trillion of it right there. So let's say there's 20 trillion left. About 6 trillion is owned by foreigners and foreign central banks. Mm-hmm. And the other, 14 trillion is owned by pension funds, mutual funds, and individual investors in the United States. So you have the federal deficit, and then you have the portion that the Federal Reserve owns of that deficit. That the U.S. government owes to the central bank. Keep in mind that the Federal Reserve is an independent bank from the United States government. So the United States government owes the central bank, the Federal Reserve, like $5 trillion in debt that they have outstanding with them.
Okay.
All right, buddy?
It's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. And, you know, Japan's even more complicated. One time we get a chance, we should talk about Japan when you get worried about the United States and also Europe. Europe's even more complicated, but we don't have time for that right now.
I think
All right.
That's the only thing that's saving us. Other countries are worse than we are.
All right. You take care. Thanks for your call. And Tom, who's up, Maddie?
We've got Tom from Bel Air with a question on title locks.
Title locks, okay. Hey, Tom, is it Bel Air or is it Blair?
I'm actually in Joppa.
Okay. Go ahead. What's your question?
30 years, Drew, and I didn't know who else to call. I figured I'd call the smartest guy on radio.
Thank you.
You hear it advertised. Been here 42 years in my house. Should I be worried about that situation?
So the answer to that question is that there is a shred of truth to what these title lock people say. Okay?
Okay.
Now, if you don't get your mail and you don't pay attention to things, then I'd probably suggest title lock. But if you're a diligent, normal person who lives in the house and is regularly there and gets the mail and pays attention to their tax bill and all those kind of wonderful things, et cetera, you know, don't waste your time. Don't waste your money. It's foolish. Now, let me tell you a couple other things, too, that you ought to do. You could contact the Baltimore County Tax Assessor and ask them if they have a notification. I don't know. I've not asked them. But maybe you could call back. You could do the homework for us and call back, my friend. But a lot of tax assessors are now creating a notification center that you can contact them and say, I'm Tom. I own this house. You know I own this house. If anybody ever tries to change anything, either whatever, the mailing address or whatever, you are to notify me via text or email or something like that, as well as mailing something out to my address, et cetera, et cetera. You know, so that's something you can do. Another thing that you ought to do is a credit freeze. And if you're not familiar with that, just Google search Maryland State Attorney General credit freeze, and it'll explain the whole concept to you. I have had my credit frozen with the credit bureaus for about 15 years now.
Nope.
And I just astonished that people of any kind of financial means have not frozen their credit. And you, if you've never done it, or not familiar with it, you need to go do this Google search and study this, and then go into each of those websites, Experian, Equifax, TransUnion, and freeze your credit reports immediately, and learn also how to thaw them if you do want to borrow money or if somebody needs to look legitimately at your credit reports, okay?
Very good information, Drew. Thank you.
All right,
Enjoy
Tom.
Enjoy your time in Florida.
You take care. And we can't say Blair. We got to say Joppa, you know? Anyway, anybody else online there, Maddie?
Nope, nobody else as of now.
Well, then we'll just give a shout out to our listeners that we need some help on this last quarter of the show. 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in, we're ready to answer your questions. Otherwise, right now, we've got to go to traffic.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the financial consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE, or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Maddie, you know that one?
I do not. Is that... I'm going to take a guess.
Go ahead.
Leonard Skinner.
No, I'm not going to tell you either, because then Chris would know, and I don't want Chris to know. Anyway, we're on an open show, 410-922-6680, but the lines are full, so why don't you just rip through them there for us,
All Maddie. Right. All right. First up, we've got Alex from Glen Burnie with a question about IRAs.
Hello?
Alex, how can we help you?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Great, and you?
Yeah, I'm good, man. So I'm rather small time compared to what I hear a lot of the callers that's been calling in, but I just kind of want to get some insight to know if I'm doing things right or wrong. I don't have a financial advisor or anybody guiding me. I kind of just did some research on my own and went with it. So I'm 33. I opened up a Roth IRA last year through Vanguard, and it said I could only contribute $6,000 max last year, and I put it all into their growth fund, VWUSF.
Sure. Well, so far, Alex, you're sounding pretty darn sharp. I would have told you everything you said. I would have said you need to get in a Roth, you need to go to Vanguard, and you've already done all that. So I admire that. You're doing great.
Yeah, good, man. I just wanted to know, make sure, because right now I'm an independent contractor. So I don't have no company that was offering me a 401k or financial advice or anything, but I'm on the brink of starting my own business, and I've been realizing all my goals, and I expect to be making a lot more money going forward these next few years. And just wanted to make sure I was on the right track.
Well, the first thing you want to figure out is, when can you establish, if you have no employees, an individual 401k, that'll allow you to put up a lot of money, and not just $6,000. If you're an independent with no employees, you could do up to $55,000 into a I-401k. So if you do have employees, though, then you'll set up a 401k plan with an online provider like Guideline. That's who we have found to be a very cost-effective way to do it. All right, Alex, great question. You're doing fantastic, my friend. Call in anytime, and we'll do a checkup with you, okay?
Yeah, thank you, man. I appreciate you.
All right, take care.
All right, next we've got Frank from Arbutus, and he wants to talk about gold. So, Frank?
Frank?
Yes, I'm here. My question about gold is this. I have to take a required minimum distribution. I've been retired since 2009. And I've been thinking about buying some gold and coins. I'm afraid of Bitcoin, and I don't want my money to just sit in a savings account and get a tenth of a percent. And I've been thinking of something for a long term, just take that money I'm forced to take and buy some coins.
Well, you
but
see,
I got to thinking, well, how practical is that? If the economy goes south or some disaster occurs, how would I spend those coins? How would I?
Well, that's the you're asking some great questions, Frank. First off, you know, if you buy coins, do you realize that it's going to cost you 10 to 20% for somebody to sell them to you? So, in other words, if you bought $10,000 worth of gold coins, somebody's going to rip you off for $1,000 in fees and commissions to get that, buy that from. And then second, you go to sell them, they're going to take another 10% off you to sell them. And then you got to store them, and you got to keep them safe, and you got to make sure nobody knows where you have them and so forth. And then if you did have a disaster, how the hell are you going to use them? You know, so what are you going to do? Shave off a few pieces of gold dust to somebody? You know, your best bet is to put it into great stocks. As Warren Buffett has always said, don't ever bet against the United States. put it in great stocks. And as Charles Schwab said when I interviewed him about 2 years ago, he said, an investor always needs to be an optimist. In other words, the people who sit around and invest because they see the end of the world coming and they're going to make some crazy move because they're confident the end of the world coming, they always end up losing lots of money. Be confident, be optimistic, and don't bet against the United States. Buy some great stocks and just hold them for the long term. All right, buddy?
I think I'll stick with Hershey.
There you go. Can't beat that. I like Hershey myself. So go ahead, Maddie, who's up next? Thank you.
All right. Next, we've got Jim from Reisterstown wants to talk about capital gains.
All right.
How are you doing?
Good. And you? Doing great.
So I was just curious what your thoughts are of if Joe Biden has a chance of getting through 40% capital gains retroactive.
So first off, keep in mind that Joe Biden's 40% retroactive is only, A, if he gets it through, and two, it's only on people with taxable incomes of over $1 million. If your taxable income's under $1 million, then your capital gain rate's still going to be 0, 15, 18.8, or 23.8%. So that's number one. Number two, the chances I think are 1 in 100. 1 in 100 would be my bet that he'll be able to get it through and get it through retroactive for 2021.
Well, I'm glad you said that. That's the way I feel, and but it's a little scary sometimes thinking about it.
Look, as I've said from the very beginning, there are some very conservative Democrats who are in the Senate, and unless they are able to pack the Senate and pack the Supreme Court and they allow them to do it, you know, right now with the mixture of the Senate and the House, they're not going to get a lot of crazy stuff through, you know? So, and keep in mind, there's a lot of big time, you know, you look at these tax returns coming out from some of these people, you know, these people are, you know, a lot of them vote Democrat, you know, and they're not going to just sit back and say, hey, Joe, let's pay 43% capital gains rate, you know. So, all right, buddy.
I appreciate you saying that. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Take care.
All right. Next, we've got Craig from Westminster wants to talk about cost of living.
Craig, how can we help you, buddy?
Oh, yeah. For, like, retirees on the state pension, for example, they just said, well, we're going to get a whopping 1.8% this July.
Yep.
How far back do they look? I mean, inflation's a lot higher than that.
Well, keep in mind that they have formulas to how they do it and so forth. And they do it, I also, if I'm not mistaken, Maryland, state of Maryland's cost of living projections are from July to July. So, you know, it could be very logical to be 1.8. Also, keep in mind that their cost of living increases are capped under certain circumstances. So, you know, that's an interesting question that I'd love to get the fullness from the state pension people. But it has to do with which pension are you in? Are you in the old Maryland pension? Are you in a hybrid?
I'm unlimited COLA.
You're in the unlimited COLA. So,
I paid extra, you know, pension money for
so
that.
You paid the extra 7% per year when you were working to get the unlimited COLA in the old Maryland pension.
That
so
sounds,
yes.
Yeah, and I think it allows you 1.8%.
Yeah, but you see, I think what you're finding is that that's from July of last year to July of this year, and it just doesn't yet reflect the inflation increases that have happened. So next year, if you still get another 1.8%, then we got to talk to somebody. Okay, buddy?
Okay, thank you.
All right, take care. Bye. Good question, though. And he's a smart man that he paid the extra 7%, got that unlimited cost of living.
Mm-hmm.
And Maddie, anyone else?
Nope, that's it for tonight.
That's it. Well, it's not that it. We've got a minute that you have to talk to me and babble with me for a minute, you know?
All right, so, what would you like to babble about?
So why don't you tell people why do you like working at the consulate? Maybe you don't. Maybe I shouldn't ask you that question.
No, I enjoy working at the consulate. My favorite thing is really just the culture.
It's the wine at lunch.
Oh, yes, of course. Can't forget the wine.
We do drink wine occasionally at lunch.
We do.
And we don't drink cheap wine either, do we?
No, and we get a history lesson every time we do, so.
That's good. That's something you like, but there's a lot of other good things at the consulate.
Yes.
You know? So we're excited about all you've been doing and all that you've contributed to the company since you've been with us. So
thank you.
We're very appreciative of that and looking forward to seeing how you develop as a financial advisor. Financial therapist.
Yes. Thank you very much. And thank you for having me tonight.
All right. It was great. And I hope you come back. I hope I didn't intimidate you tonight.
I'll be back.
You know, Mikey doesn't come back anymore because he's too intimidated. Oh, wait. No, that's not true. Anyway, this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.
Show them the way you feel. Things are gonna